Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. We're going through the Gospel of John. We left off at the end of chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Jesus makes this outrageous statement. So outrageous that the Jews they take up stones to cast at him. They're going to stone him dead right there. I mean, they already wanted to kill him, and he confronts them about that. But he says this thing about Abraham, you know, one other time he answered it that, haven't you heard that God is the God of the living and he's not the God of the dead? So in an answer to them saying that Abraham was dead. But here in this case, he simply states to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. Now that's quite a statement. You know, that's a statement of, there's only one way to put it, of deity. Yeah. He is a man who transcends time. That's what he's saying. Before Abraham was, I am. Not only I was, but I am. And we know, because we read the Word of God, we read that he is the Lamb slain before the foundation, or from the foundation of the world, that the very foundation of our creation was built upon him being slain to redeem us. Think about that. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How about when he appeared in the Garden of Eden, the high priest for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them with the skins? Who else would it be? Yes, before Abraham was, I am. Before. That's right. Before Abraham was, I am, he says. And he was. He was in the garden. He was the high priest. Who else could qualify? Who else would it be that made that first sacrifice for Adam and Eve and clothed them with the skins of the animals, the tunics made of those animal skins? Only one. And who was it that appeared when the debate came up about Sodom and Gomorrah? Who was that who was called the Lord, who appeared with angels? Yes, I say it was the same man. The before Abraham was, I am. That's who it was. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about the Trinity. I haven't found the Trinity doctrine in the scripture. I can't put him in a doctrine. I can't put him in a box. I can't confine him to a tripartite being. I cannot do that to God. You know, I don't have any authority by the scripture to do it. Maybe he's a seven part being. I don't know. Maybe he's an infinite part being. How could I break him down to three parts so that I can understand him? Says we were made in his image. I don't know. I can't get it down to so I'm not going to deny it and I'm not going to affirm it. Show me what the scripture says and I'll affirm that and I won't deny that. That's all I have. But before Abraham was, I am. This is another statement. John is full of the deity of Christ. He was in the beginning. Nothing was made without him. You know, it doesn't say that he was made. Of course, his body, a body thou hast prepared for me, but he preceded that body. Okay, we're going to move on to chapter 9. I know a lot of people, they would accuse me because I don't teach some of the doctrines of men, but I cannot go where the scripture does not lead me, where God's word doesn't take me. I just cannot go there. They read a verse here and a verse there and they extrapolate, you know, and it's like the Trinity doctrine. And I'll say, show me the Trinity in the scripture, please. And they'll read a verse like, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they go, see, there's the Trinity. Well, it doesn't say, see, there's the Trinity, but I believe that we should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't bother me. If you want to make more of what's there, then, you know, that's your business. But I can't build a doctrine on conjecture. And anybody can believe whatever they want. I don't know, you know. I know that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah, I know that. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? Should we make a doctrine to explain it to people? Can we really express that? Or is that the inexplicable? Something that we can't articulate, but we know in our spirit to be true. That's where I go with it. It's like I said, I believe. I believe what I believe. I believe the Word of God. I believe what it says. And I'm willing to, that's as far as I'm willing to go. Okay, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Of course, they sinned like everyone else, but not to cause the blindness. There you go. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The night cometh. What is Jesus saying here? The night cometh. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Something to meditate upon. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, I guess the main lesson there is to do the work that you can do in his kingdom while you can. Because the time comes, you know, as it was in the physical labor. You know, they didn't have electricity in factories to work in at night. And you couldn't work outside in the field by candlelight, right? So you had to work while it was light. And when the night came, you couldn't work. I'm just drawing an illustration here. Which you can apply to whatever circumstance you can apply it to. As long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. Yes, we can always do his work as long as he is in us. He is the light of our life, and we can do the work of his kingdom. Yes, even at night. But the night cometh when no man can work, he says. Well, work while you can. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to them, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way and washed and came seeing. The neighbors thereof, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He just looks like the same guy. Right? But he said, I am he. Therefore, said they unto him, How were thine eyes made open? How were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said, Go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. And they said to him, Where is he? He said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. And opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad to hear that there was a division among the Pharisees. Some are going to believe and some are not. Mm-hmm. Verse 17. And they said to the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he that hath opened thine eyes. And he said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they got this guy, they're putting him on trial now, right? I guess they hold him there and they call for his parents. And so now his parents show up and they ask them, saying, Is this your son whom you say that was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them, saying, We know that he's our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Imagine this like a trial going on in a courtroom. They're trying to find something wrong here. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They're going to put you out of our church if you believe the truth. If you don't believe like us, you're going to be tossed out the door. You don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're out of here, buddy. You don't believe that we should all become one. You don't believe in caritas and veritate. You don't believe in the ecumenist movement, ecumenical movement that we could, you don't believe we're going to toss you out. Right. Whatever reasons. Anyway, if you believe in Jesus, we're going to toss you out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And it's true. What did they know anyway? They didn't know, only what they're told. He is of age, ask him. And then again, call they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And the man who was blind, he answered and said to them, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered and said, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. I think they cleared that up at the Feast of Tabernacles, didn't they? Yes. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. See, now the man who's made blind is preaching to them, right? And God doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. There were people being healed, but I don't remember anyone being healed that was born blind. And he says, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. I'm sure this guy knew what he was talking about because their history book, it was that Old Testament. It was the Word of God that they had at that time. And he probably heard every word of it, but never heard of the blind, one being born blind, healed. He would have been interested in that, being born blind, you would think. If this man were not of God, he continues, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here we go, just ad hominem attack now. They're just going to attack the guy who was born blind and now sees. You are altogether born in sins. You can't teach us anything. What they're saying is, we're better than you. Toss him out. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in that condition, as the Son of Man, he received worship. There were angels and there were apostles, who men falling down before them, and it's recorded in the scripture, and worshiped them. And they said, no, don't do it. We are your fellow servants. If Jesus was not different than us, if he was not higher than the angels, would he not say, I mean, would he receive this worship? If he was not, wouldn't he say, don't do it? Wouldn't he lift this man up and say, I can't receive your worship. I'm not better than you. He never said that. There's something about this man we call Jesus, Yahshua, in his native tongue. There's something different about him. He is not an ordinary man. Before Abraham was, I am, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, in the garden with Adam and Eve. Something about this man, that he could receive worship, where no other man or no other angel, no angel, no other man could receive worship, but he could. The man who was blind, he says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see might see not, might see, and they which see might be made blind, that their blindness may become manifest. I am in this world. For judgment I am come into this world. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. The Gospel of John and chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You know, there's a big movement in the world, the ecumenical movement, where they want to unite even the three great Abrahamic faiths of the world. And they say that Allah is God, and they say that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God as Allah. No, he's not. It's a different way, because they say God has no son. They don't accept him. It's a different father that teaches that. And then you have another sheepfold. Well, they offer you another way up, through penance, through works, through purgatory, through indulgences. It's another way. But he says, he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Yeah. And will be treated as such. He says, but they understood not what the things which he spake unto them. So, verse 7, then Jesus says unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And he's talking about the false messiahs that came before him. But the sheep did not hear them. The elect, those that have the circumcision that is that of the heart, they don't hear the counterfeit. They don't go after the counterfeit. They'll listen, but they'll discern that the words aren't true. Why? Because they are familiar with the true. Therefore, they see the counterfeit for what it is. Because they're not familiar with the counterfeit. They're familiar with the true. Okay? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And of course, there are many counterfeits that came after him and continue to this day. Oh, there are a lot of counterfeits out there today. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling, See, now he's zeroing in on the false church, that is without the temple, in the outer court, for the visible, nominal church, or what appears to be the church of God. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep, okay, but I am the good shepherd, yes, gives his life, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Okay. Who is Jesus speaking to? The other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Okay. They are them not of the fold. The fold is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I have not come but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's there within the fold of the house of the sheep of Israel to gather the lost sheep into his sheepfold from the house of Israel. The other sheep would be those of the other nations that are not of this fold, he says. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This doesn't mean, followers of Allah, followers of Buddha, followers of, that they can retain that false belief and be part of his fold. He said, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, not two folds, not three folds, not four folds. So if he has any people in those false religions, in those false folds, then he will call them out, and they will become part of his one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, he continues in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Yes, there's no other shepherd out there. Did Buddha lay down his life for his flock? Did Allah lay down his life for his flock? Did any of these others lay down their lives for their flock? Well, I haven't read about one yet. And we're out of time. We're gonna have to mark this where I am the good shepherd, and come back here next time in John chapter 10. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you subscribe there. May the Almighty bless you and yours until we meet again.